I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Having a great afternoon hanging out with y'all. He's hanging out on the golf course. He'll be there all weekend long, and I hope he has a very good time. He'll be back on Monday, of course. This is pretty scary. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, did I mention Treasury Secretary? Apparently said he really doesn't understand the spike in oil prices. Huh? Well, if you don't, who's supposed to? I don't know. Jeff Murdoch is here, White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, I'm worried about that comment.
It's not a great comment. It's disturbing because I think most people also know why there's a spike in oil prices. It's because the Iran war and the Strait of Hormuz. It just seemed like he didn't want to come out and say it and he didn't know what to do. So he pretended he just didn't know the answer to the question.
That's pretty funny. By the way, I hear you moved to my fair city.
I have. I am actually probably just not that far from you as I talk to you. And it's a great city. It's I love it here.
Well, if you love it here when it's 107, you'll love it in October. I'll tell you that. That's good.
Well, I love the heat. The heat is what I like. It's 107. I'm outside on the deck and it feels wonderful.
That's so funny. Well, that's great. Great to have you in Vegas. So talk to me a little bit. Let's start with this Natalie Harp thing. To me, it seems like just garbage and gossip. And I cannot believe that they're going after her and trying to cast aspersions on her employment. I mean, really, Trump's 80 years old. He's going to chase after this girl and risk his presidency. I mean, really, come on. Who believes that?
Oh, your phrase of garbage and gossip is the perfect two words to describe all this. This is completely ridiculous. The poor woman is a cancer survivor. I have actually dealt with her numerous times at the White House. She is one of the nicest, most helpful people you will deal with, which I cannot say that a lot about people in Washington, but that's been my personal experience. John Ossoff, he's vulnerable. He knows he's in trouble with Mike Collins. He's desperate. He wants to show that he can be a fighter because that's what the Democrats want. They say nobody's fighting for them. And he decided to go below the belt and try and position himself as a guy who's willing to go below the belt to go after Trump. That's what this is about. It's about saving his flailing campaign against Mike Collins. And we'll see what happens. But yes, it's innuendo. It's gossip. It's unfair. The poor woman is a cancer survivor. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. So where's the left? I mean, I understand the left's not going to defend this, but really, if you really cared about women like the left claims to, they would go, wait a minute, don't be assuming that because, and Trump, let's be honest, Trump likes pretty things around him. He doesn't have ugly women on his staff in any way, right? He likes pretty things, but that doesn't mean you're not qualified.
No, that's 100% right. To your point, if you go into, so in the White House, when you're a reporter, there's a section called lower press, where it's young women who help reporters, they answer questions, they get you press releases, all that. Most of those women are our former beauty pageant queens in some way. As mm-hmm. a matter of fact, a friend of mine joked with me that Trump should change his slogan to Make America Hot Again. So,
right. That's the whole point. You go back to D.C., you see that all over the place. So it's just, frankly, it's ridiculous, the whole idea. So now Ossoff, obviously, I mean, is this going to do anything for his campaign, do you think?
I think it bought him some attention for a little bit. But, you know, come November, October, when people want to talk about the real issues, is anybody going to remember this? There's not a lot of news going on right now. It's a slow August. You know, the president's been wrapped up with the Iran war, so he hasn't been releasing a lot of new initiatives, at least at the rate he was. And this buys him some temporary airtime, but come November, nobody's going to remember this, and it's not going to help him.
No, and obviously there's August recess, so not much going on. The polling numbers, we don't, you know, it's hard to really rely on polling numbers this time of year. But what are you thinking for the midterms? What are you, you know, what's your, you know, thought? Because obviously all of us knew the situation in Iran was not going to be over by the midterms. Everybody with half a brain cell knew that. What do you think it's going to portend for the midterms?
In terms of how, well, first of all, I think it's going to be very difficult for this president. I think it's going to be very, I don't see the Republicans doing well. I do think they keep the Senate. I think they lose the House. I think the White House seems to know that. by the number of people that have been leaving. I think one of the reasons why Caroline Leavitt left is they want to bring somebody in there with some kind of legal experience who can sort of talk about the subpoenas, likely the impeachment that will come if the Democrats take the House. And I think they wanted somebody out there with more of a legal mind to try to, or legal background, I should say, to try to explain some of these things.
Really? Wait, that's important. Yeah. Wait, I don't want to step away from that. This is important, Jeff, because yeah. I hadn't thought about this. Sure. We're talking with Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Mark. I had not thought about that. So I just thought Caroline was stepping away because she wanted to be a mom to her children, which is fantastic. I champion that. It's wonderful. But you think Trump wanted to bring in somebody as the press secretary who would have more of a legal mind when it comes to this kind of thing? I hadn't thought about that.
I think that's part of it. I think she did want to step away and be with her family. But I also think it looks like if you look at this administration, for example, James Braid, the legislative director, he left today. He's going to be leaving in September. He's the chief White House liaison to Congress, and he's getting out. And you see these departures, and they start to add up, and they start to show a pattern of people kind of leaving before the midterm and a different switch. And it looks like they're trying to get in somebody who's going to be more of an attack dog with Congress because they're going to have a much more hostile Congress. But back to Caroline, Elena Aba is widely considered to be the favorite of to be the press secretary. She was, she's got a legal mind, a legal background. At one point, the president tried to make her the U.S. attorney that went through a whole legal process. She is, as we were talking about earlier, the president likes pretty things. She's an attractive woman. She seems to be the favorite. And I have to believe part of that is why she is the favorite.
Well, I thought I saw something today, and you're on top of this more than I am, but I thought I saw something today where she said, I don't want it. I could be wrong.
Well, yes. And in Washington, though, everybody says they don't want it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, right?
I've learned that. So many people I've written stories, they don't want it. And then a week later, they got the job. So.
Right. They're just holding out for more money or whatever. They're better terms or whatever it might be. Interesting. Okay, that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. You're not going to get the truth. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because Caroline, oh my gosh, she was amazing. I mean, God bless her. She was so rapid fire and just unflappable. And that is really tough.
The thing that I don't think she ever got enough credit for was her willingness to move around the briefing room and go to outlets that don't traditionally get called on. And I don't think she ever got the credit she deserved for that. I went through all 4 years of Joe Biden's administration. I could tell you which outlet they were going to go to first, which outlet they were going to go to second, which outlet they were going to go third. You cannot do that with Caroline. She moves around the room. She doesn't seem like she has a planned strategy of calling on people's favorites. She'll call on people, and she'll give people a chance who have not traditionally get called on in the room. And I think that should be more of her legacy than it has been, at least so far when people have been talking about it.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you going to go on the record here, Jeff Murdoch, and say that Caroline Leavitt did not get enough credit for how great she was? Is that what you're going to say? Because that's...
I didn't say how great she was. I just said for calling on people, and I'm going to...
Right, but she was great. That's my point. I mean, we've all watched these people, the people who worked for Biden. I mean, they stumble, they bumble. I mean, she was boom, 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 boom. And at 28 years old, I mean, it's to me, she had so much on the ball. Incredible.
Well, you know, one thing I thought was always interesting is, you know, sitting through those Karine Jean-Pierre briefings, is she could give Lane Kiflin lessons in how to run out the clock. there was always these long-winded answers.
Right.
There were always these, you know, pauses. And it was really like she was trying to get to that 45-minute mark so she could just declare it as it. Whereas you point out, Caroline, boom, 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 boom. She's going to sit there and get as many people in as she can in that 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was incredible. I didn't realize they had a time limit on it, but as you were talking, I was thinking about all the years I've done radio, and you get politicians on and talk about running the clock out. They know exactly how much time you have. And depending on who the politicians are, I mean, I've interviewed Governor Kehoe, people like that who are great, Josh Hawley, people like that are great to have on, and they actually give you answers. But there are a lot of them who will not ever come to the point, and they'll run the clock out. Drives you crazy.
Yeah, 100%. I hope I'm not doing that on the phone with you today.
You are not. You are excellent and concise because you know what you're doing. But you know what I'm talking about with politicians. They will dance around it. They'll do everything except answer the question. Oops, out of time. They know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They'll begin it with, well, thank you for, thank you for that question. I appreciate you asking me that question. It's a good question.
And there goes 30 always, seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true. So we don't really know. You said you think they're going to lose the House, but they'll keep the Senate. So it's just hard to know because no one really pays attention, really, until after Labor Day, for the most part.
That's true. And keep in mind, Trump and Republicans tend to underpoll because of, there's sort of a stigma, as you're aware of, when people identify themselves in polls as conservatives or Trump supporters. So they tend to not say that. So I always find Republicans, especially Trump, always tends to underpoll than what we see with when the results come out. So I think that's also a factor. But, you know, we're having this conversation here in late August. We still have all of September. We still have all of October. We still have a part of November. So a lot can change.
Right. Now, final question here, when we're talking about the polls and all that kind of stuff, when it comes to people coming back from obviously from the break and this and that, I totally lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you something so important. I don't write my questions down. This is why. Oh, I know what it was. I was going to mention this week there were some losses for the Freedom Caucus people. And there are some people saying, well, Trump, he's lost his edge. People he has supported don't necessarily win now. What do you say to that, Jeff Murdoch?
I say, look at Florida. I thought, his record in Florida was particularly strong. You look at some of these other, his record of endorsements, they've been particularly strong. I would have to disagree with that based on some of the recent results we've seen.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff. I mean, hopefully you and I'll get out for coffee now that you're in Vegas, my hometown. I'm glad to have you in Vegas. We need clear thinking people in this town. Lord knows.
Absolutely. Reach out to me. I'm always happy to get coffee.
Absolutely. That'll be great. Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent, Washington Times. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.